The Second Century, paragraphs 61 through 70. Number 61. How happy we are that we may live in all as well as one, and how all-sufficient love is, we may see by this. The more we live in all, the more we live in one. For while he sees us to live in all, we are a more great and glorious object to him. The more we are beloved of all, the more we are admired by him. The more we are the joy of all, the more blessed we are to him. The more blessed we are to him, the greater is our blessedness. We are all naturally ambitious of being magnified in others, and of seeming great in others. Which inclination was implanted in us that our happiness might be enlarged by the multitude of spectators? Number 62. Love is the true means by which the world is enjoyed, our love to others, and others' love to us. We ought, therefore, above all things, to get acquainted with the nature of love. For love is the root and foundation of nature. Love is the soul of life and crown of rewards. If we cannot be satisfied in the nature of love, we can never be satisfied at all. The very end for which God made the world was that he might manifest his love. Unless, therefore, we can be satisfied with his love so manifested, we can never be satisfied. There are many glorious excellencies in the material world, but without love they are all abortive. We might spend ages in contemplating the nature of the sun, and entertain ourselves many years with the beauty of the stars and services of the sea, but the soul of man is above all these. It comprehendeth all ages in a moment. And unless it perceives something more excellent, is very desolate, all worlds being but a silent wilderness, without some living thing more sweet and blessed after which it aspires. Love in the fountain and love in the end is the glory of the world and the soul of joy, which it infinitely prefers above all worlds, and delighteth in and loveth to contemplate more than all visible beings that are possible. So that you must be sure to see causes, wherefore infinitely, to be delighted with the love of God, if ever you would be happy. Number 63. See causes also, wherefore to be delighted in your love to men, and in the love of men to you. For the world serves you to this end, that you might love them and be beloved of them. And unless you are pleased with the end for which the world serves you, you can never be pleased with the means leading to that end. Above all things, therefore, contemplate the glory of loving men and of being beloved of them. For this end our Savior died, and for this end he came into the world, that you might be restored from hatred, which is the greatest misery, from the hatred of God and men, which was due for sin, and from the misery of hating God and men. For to hate and be hated is the greatest misery. The necessity of hating God and men being the greatest bondage that hell can impose. Number 64. When you love men, the world quickly becomes yours, and yourself becomes a greater treasure than the world is. For all their persons are your treasures, and all the things in heaven and earth that serve them are yours. For those are the riches of love which minister to its object. Number 65. You are as prone to love as the sun is to shine, it being the most delightful and natural employment of the soul of man, without which you are dark and miserable. Consider, therefore, the extent of love, its vigor, and excellency. For certainly he that delights not in love makes vain the universe, and is of necessity to himself the greatest burden. The whole world ministers to you as the theater of your love. It sustains you and all objects that you may continue to love them, without which it were better for you to have no being. Life without objects is sensible emptiness, and that is a greater misery than death or nothing. Objects without love are a delusion of life. The objects of love are its greatest treasures, and without love it is impossible they should be treasures. For the objects which we love are the pleasing objects and delightful objects, and whatsoever is not pleasing and delightful to you can be no treasure. Nay, it is distasteful, and worse than nothing, since we had rather it should have no being. Number 66. That violence wherewith sometimes a man doteth upon one creature is but a little spark of that love, even towards all, which lurketh in his nature. We are made to love, both to satisfy the necessity of our active nature and to answer the beauties in every creature. By love our souls are married and soldered to the creatures, as it is our duty, like God, to be united to them all. We must love them infinitely, but in God and for God, and God in them, namely, all his excellencies manifested in them. When we dote upon the perfections and beauties of some one creature, we do not love that too much, but other things too little. Never was anything in this world loved too much, but many things have been loved in a false way, and all in too short a measure. Number 67. Suppose a river, or a drop of water, an apple, or a sand, an ear of corn, or an herb. God knows infinite excellencies in it more than we. He sees how it relates to angels and men, how it proceeds from the most perfect lover to the most perfectly beloved, how it represents all his attributes, how it conduces in its place by the best of means to the best of ends, and for this cause it cannot be beloved too much. God the author and God the end is to be beloved in it. Angels and men are to be beloved in it, and it is highly to be esteemed for all their sakes. Oh, what a treasure is every sand when truly understood! Who can love anything that God made too much? What a world would this be were everything beloved as it ought to be? Number 68. Suppose a curious and fair woman. Some have seen the beauties of heaven in such a person. It is a vain thing to say they love too much. I dare say there are 10,000 beauties in that creature which they have not seen. They loved it not too much, but upon false causes, nor so much upon false ones as only upon some little ones. They love a creature for sparkling eyes and curled hair, lily breasts and ruddy cheeks, which they should love, moreover, for being God's image, queen of the universe, beloved by angels, redeemed by Jesus Christ, an heiress of heaven, and temple of the Holy Spirit, a mine and fountain of all virtues, a treasury of graces, and a child of God. But these excellencies are unknown. They love her, perhaps, but do not love God more, nor man as much, nor heaven and earth at all, and so, being defective to other things, perish by a seeming excess to that. We should be all life and mettle and vigor and love to everything, and that would poise us. I dare confidently say that every person in the whole world ought to be beloved as much as this, and she, if there be any cause of difference, more than she is. But God, being beloved infinitely more, will be infinitely more our joy, and our heart will be more with him, so that no man can be in danger by loving others too much that loves God as he ought. Number 69. The sun and stars please me in ministering to you. They please me in ministering to 1,000 others as well as you, and you please me because you can live and love in the image of God, not in a blind and brutish manner as beasts do, but by a mere appetite and rude propensity, but with a regulated, well-ordered love, upon clear causes, and with a rational affection, guided to divine and celestial ends, which is to love with a divine and holy love, glorious and blessed. We are all prone to love, but the art lies in managing our love, to make it truly amiable and proportionable, to love for God's sake and to this end that we may be well-pleasing to him, to love with the design to imitate him, and to satisfy the principles of intelligent nature, and to become honorable, is to love in a blessed and holy manner. Number 70. In one soul we may be entertained and taken up with innumerable beauties, but in the soul of man there are innumerable infinities. One soul in the immensity of its intelligence is greater and more excellent than the whole world. The ocean is but the drop of a bucket to it, the heavens but a center, the sun obscurity, and all ages but as one day, it being its understanding a temple of eternity, and God's omnipresence, between which and the whole world there is no proportion. Its love is a dominion greater than that which Adam had in paradise, and yet the fruition of it is but solitary. We need spectators and other diversities of friends and lovers, in whose souls we might likewise dwell, and with whose beauties we might be crowned and entertained, in all whom we can dwell exactly and be present with them fully. Lest, therefore, the other depths and faculties of our souls should be desolate and idle, they also are created to entertain us. And as in many mirrors we are so many other selves, so are we spiritually multiplied when we meet ourselves more sweetly and live again in other persons.